Well, good morning, church. How are you today? Woo! Yeah, good. Well, I appreciate you being out here. I know you're like, you came, you were enduring the heat and the humidity, but we have a nice breeze coming through, a real nice breeze happening here. So we're just going to enjoy. And because it was so warm and stuff, I thought I'm going to cut this down to about 50 minutes. So I thought an hour and a half is way too long for the sermon. So I'll just cut it down a little bit here. No, it's not. That's okay. Yeah. Hour and a half. All right. You got it. Well, you know, when we're outside in nature here, as we'll call it, compared to our normal setup, people say things like, I'm communing with nature. Have you ever used that phrase? I'm communing with nature. I want to make sure you know, like, when I was growing up, and to some degree today, like, the whole, like, becoming one with nature and really just being odd, like, it doesn't quite grab my heart the way it grabs some people. I understand how it does others, but it doesn't quite for me. So growing up, the whole concept communing with nature made no sense to me whatsoever. I got married in Kentucky, and a couple years into marriage, I got a call to pastor, or actually to assistant pastor, a church out in Arizona. Now, you know, geographically, Kentucky way over there, Arizona way over here, or maybe it's the other way around. And we moved to Arizona. And when we got to Arizona, eventually, like I think most Arizonians do, or maybe you even have on vacation, we decided we need to make a visit to the Grand Canyon, right? And so we went up to the Grand Canyon, and I had seen pictures. In fact, my parents say I was there when I was a kid and saw the whole thing, but I don't remember anything about it. And that day, when we parked, we went through, welcome center, information center there. Walk through that on the back side, you get to the trails where you start heading to the edge of the canyon. And when we first came upon that, and you could now look in to see what the Grand Canyon was, it just hit me in a way that I'd never understood. And I'd never quite experienced anything like that in nature, to see that. Pictures I had seen, paintings I had seen, but I'd never seen it with these eyes, and it just floored me, just blew me away what I was looking at, this amazing natural creation that God put into place, and water and rock and dirt and what it was. Amazing. Communing with nature. You might feel that same thing like when you go out on a hiking trail this afternoon, or maybe when the weather cools and you walk down a hiking trail, just you're kind of out there and it's quiet and you don't have the issues of work or maybe the stresses of your bills and those type of things. You're just communing, as we say, communing with nature. I want to talk to you this morning briefly here about communing, but not communing with nature. I want to talk to you about communing with believers, or communing with people. Now, we might think we have an understanding or an idea of this, but you may not know that it was actually God himself that created community. In fact, there's a popular phrase we like to use ever so often, and believers will say it. They'll say a phrase like, hey, it's just me and God. Just me and God, and we can do anything. Did you know that that is actually biblically, theologically incorrect? That God actually designed this thing called community. He designed communing with other people. Way back in the Old Testament, Genesis means beginnings. It's the first book of the Bible. Way back there in the second chapter, God walks through the creation account in the first chapter, and in the second chapter, a kind of another telling of the creation account. And then he says, and God said, it is not good for man to be what? Alone. Yeah, several of you even know that. And so he goes through this thing of creating someone else, a helper, a companion to go along with him. We talk a lot about that creation, the creation of woman. We talk a lot about that relationship and where it went from there. In fact, there's a lot of theological discussions about how did God actually do that creating of woman. But think about the verse that we just skip over so often. God said, it is not good for man to be alone. What's God saying there? Why doesn't the Bible just say, hey, Adam, it's just me and you, man. We got this. This whole world I've created here, everything that's in front of you, it's you and me, and we've got it. We'll rule over these animals. We'll take care of everything we need to take care of. It's just you and me. And when you get a little lonely, if that ever surfaces, Adam, just turn. I'm right here, man. I'm right here. We'll talk. We'll hang out. We'll, I don't do whatever he would do with God. God says in his word, it is not good for man to be alone. He's declaring in the very beginning in Genesis, community. That it's so important that human beings, as you and I are, work best in community, in connection with one another. When we talk with one another, when we lean on one another, when we share who we are, when we lift each other up, or when we do for one another, community. And so God creates this entirely different system right there in Genesis. And it has community as its base. Now, fast forward, we get to the book of Acts, and this is like the establishment of the early church. Jesus has walked the earth for 3 years here. He's preached. Well, he walked it for longer than three. But he preached and he does ministry for 3 years. And then he's crucified. He raises from the dead. And now he appears to his disciples and many others. And then we find that he ascends up into heaven. And what he says is, I'm going to leave my Holy Spirit. I'm going to leave my Holy Spirit to be with you, and it'll be like me, Jesus saying, it'll be like me with you all the time, right there in your heart, in your life, at the core of your being. I'll be walking with you every day. That's the Holy Spirit in us. But we find in Acts chapter 2, at the end, we get this little dialogue of how the early church operated. And in Acts chapter 2, it says this, they met together in each other's homes daily, and sold their possessions as anyone had need. I mean, think about it for a second there. What is being described as a form of community. They are communing with one another. Why didn't the Holy Spirit just say, hey, I'm on the scene now. Jesus ascended up into heaven. Now, Jesus was with you physically. So, like, if you wanted to be with Jesus, you had to actually go where Jesus was. Now, the Holy Spirit, I'm here. I'm in your life. You don't need anything. You don't need anybody. I'm here. And yet we find at the beginning of the establishment of the early church, way back then, Acts chapter 2, we find community. That the believers drew together and supported one another in community. School starts tomorrow, right? For many of you. Some of you have started, but school starts tomorrow for a lot of you. Every campus in this area, this scene will play out tomorrow. Kids will walk in the door. They may be in fourth grade, seventh grade, 10th grade. They may be seniors. It doesn't matter. They'll walk into the door in their hallway or right through the gate into their campus. And the first thing they will do, they will start looking around. What are they looking for? Friends, connections, relational connections. They're not looking around and going, that tree, excellent. They're looking for someone they know. It gets a little more intense. They get through the hallway, maybe through the courtyard, and they're going to get to their first class, maybe their homeroom class, if it's set up that way. And they're going to walk into the door, and what are they going to do? They are going to look and see, where are the people I know? Now, some teachers have done a pretty good job. What they'll do is they'll put the names on the desk already, so it's like assigned seating. Maybe you know the person next to you. Maybe you're going to get to know them because you're in the classroom for the next 8 months or so. But they'll become a lunchtime, right? And there'll be a lunchroom you have to go to, inside or outside, doesn't matter. The same setup will happen. They will get into that lunch area, and they will immediately scan before they sit down or even make one step towards any table, and they are looking for what? Friends. They're looking for community. They're looking for, who do I know that I can sit down next to? Now, I'd love to tell you that that ends in school, and like from there it goes on, and it doesn't function that way. Do you know that every Sunday morning, if I just stood in a spot and I was looking for that scenario to play out among adults, I would see it every single Sunday at our normal location up at Guilford Elementary School. Why? We understand something. It's built deep into our DNA. God has said it at the beginning in Genesis. He shows it at the establishment of the church in the book of Acts. We are a people that need community. We need people. We need connection with other people. Now, I know what's going on right now. Some of you, you're like people persons or people. Not sure how that works grammatically. But it's no problem for you, right? You're sitting there going like, yeah, I mean, I can connect with anybody. I walk into a new setting like this. I could be a visitor this morning, and several of you are. We're glad to have you. And you could say, I can walk into somebody else's church as a visitor, and I can go right into talking. It's no problem. Some of you are saying this like, hey, Tom, you know, that's good and all, but I've functioned for years, decades in my life without those connections, without that community. My good friend Chris Mentor, we get together about every other week. He was a chef, retired now. He was a chef. Now, I want to tell you his view of food. When Chris starts to talk about food, he starts to talk about how things work together taste-wise. Chris will start to talk about a seasoning that you put in here that you don't want to add to another seasoning here that goes with a certain kind of meat, and he'll start talking about that. He'll start to go on and tell me how you want to make sure you start 4 hours early on this meat, but 8 hours early on this meat if you're going to use this seasoning. And this can go on sometimes without me saying a word. Sometimes, Chris, I can see there's a little bit more excitement as he starts to talk about it there. When he starts to talk about cooking a meat, he starts to talk about the difference between going out and why you grill something, why you put something in the oven, and why you like pan sear something. Sometimes I'm just pretending that I even know what he's talking about as he continues on. Can I tell you my philosophy on kind of the cooking stuff? I'm hungry. Get food. Put it in me. Move on with the rest of the day. That's about the philosophy. It's not that I don't want it to taste good, but that's even a secondary thing. I hungry. Food. Move on. That's kind of the day. Now, would that mean that one of us needs food and the other doesn't? We both need food. It's just a core thing for the human being to need to eat and drink. Chris is just passionate about it, loves it, could spend his whole day finishing breakfast, get ready for lunch, finish that, get ready for dinner. Whereas me, I'm like, the microwave is a great invention. It's a great tool to use. Can I tell you this morning, whatever you feel about that, if you're like, man, it comes so easy and natural, and I'm just so energized and extroverted and engaged to go and be with people, or you're like, Tom, honestly, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of energy out of me to go and to be with people and to talk that way. It takes a lot out of me. It doesn't come as natural to me. I kind of need them to engage, and I need them to walk across the bridge for me first before I feel like I can go. Whichever side you're on, can I just convince you this morning, like the food, God has still designed you to need community. Community. Fellow believers. Andy Stanley once said that Christians almost always grow in their faith in what? Community. Community. We've been, for the last 2 weeks, been walking through this series called Disciple Shift. And basically what we're saying is when you think of the word disciple, or you think of church, or you think of Christianity in general, instead of thinking about it as something that is an accessory to my life, it's something, you know, I go about my week Monday through Friday, and then I'll pop into church because that's a good place. I like those people. I like the singing. Pastor does okay. But to shift your thinking and to think, no, my life is really here to be molded by God's word and molded by God and be transformed to be what God has designed me to be, the disciple shift. And because of that, we said really the pathway to that is that every single one of us would be discipled. If you're sitting here this morning and you're like, you know, I like all this, but I wouldn't really call myself a Christian. I've never like said, yeah, I'm all into that Jesus stuff. I'm following that way. Maybe you're brand new at that. Like it's just in the last couple months or so that you said, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to make him the Lord of my life and start learning his ways and following what he has. Maybe you would say, no, this, I've been a Christian for a while and I'm growing and things are good or happening and I'm starting to be discipled more and more. Or maybe you're like, man, I've been a Christian for like 15, 18 years, but my relationship with God kind of feels a little dead. I don't have anything going on with it. I need like a revival in my heart. Or maybe you're just tracking and God is just really pumping into you right now and you're turning around and you're helping somebody else right now. You're discipling somebody else. Wherever you're at, you need to be discipled. You need to be discipled. You need to be coming along in your growth. And that is really what the church is designed for. When the church comes together, it is, yes, it's a gathering of people. The word ecclesia means gathering of people, but it's not a mob. It's a gathering of people that come together, and we do what the Bible just said. It's not good for Adam to be alone. He needs a companion, a helper. He needs somebody to come along and be a team with him, that they can accomplish what God designed them to do. And so God created woman. Acts chapter 2, we need that, where it wasn't just, hey, you got the Holy Spirit, go, you know, do whatever you think's best in the kingdom. No, come together and meet together and encourage one another, challenge one another, learn more about me. And as God's word says, they actually sold their stuff and gave as anyone had need. And so here's what we're looking at this semester. We're outside, we're in grass, and we're in a different setting. We're not in our school. At the end, you don't even have to tear down a bunch of metal chairs. Praise the Lord, today. Yeah. However, while I got your attention, you see all this nice stuff over here to my right? Yeah. Yeah, guess where that needs to go afterwards? So, not into the lake. Wow. This semester, this fall, what we really want to stress to you is discipleship. And in that discipleship, what we want to stress is our desire to have you in community and in connection with other believers. See, there's all kinds of things going on in our life. I mean, this is football season that's going on. It starts. You've got your sports and all that kind of stuff going on. Some of you are in dance and drama and band and all this kind of stuff that happens in a kid's life. There's hobbies for us adults that we like to run out and do as well. There is a whole line of things that we can do. I want to encourage you this semester, if you've never thought about it this way, you were designed for community to be built up in your faith that way. That you would look at your schedule and you would say, this fall, I want to make sure I am building into my schedule community with other believers, with other believers. You see, we're all busy, right? I don't think any of you would say, I'm never busy. We're all busy in some way, it feels like, at least, right? What we're really saying in that is this, not I'm busy, it is I've got this priority list in my life, and it looks like this, and we start down the priority list. My encouragement to you is that you would look at Christian community this semester, this fall, and it would rise on your priority list. Because as God's word says, we need it. We're designed that way. One of the ways we do community here at Wendover Hills is our small groups. They kick off in just a couple weeks. And trying to put people together that they would be able to look at God's word. They'd be able to talk about kind of the sermon and the teaching. They'd talk about life. They pray for one another. They usually eat together. They have community for a couple hours together. And it's funny because, I'm in one too and I lead one. And I find that there's just no way to get around the idea that to build community and to make community with others takes time. And so I want to encourage and challenge you this semester. Take what God has built into your DNA, as we just read in his word. Look at this semester. Look at what the church is offering in the form of helping you in community. And plug in that you might find the blessing and the value of growing in your faith and being discipled through community. On your way out today, you simply can take one of the cards or just write your name on a list that you're interested in a small group, and we're happy to connect you. And it can be in an area, or you say, I want to be with a certain age group. However, we have several groups that can fit several different ways there. I want to pray for you, and in just a couple minutes, we're going to go up the hill, and we have plenty of food this morning. And I hope you just stick around and enjoy a little bit of the community and time with one another. And if you look across and you're like, hey, there's somebody I don't know as well, community opens up when you just walk over and say, hi, my name is. I encourage you in that direction this morning. Would you bow and pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the challenge of community. Lord, if I was honest, I would say there are some days where community comes real easy. And there's other days, Lord, I feel like I'm kind of working at it. But Father, in the end, the blessing of being challenged and encouraged, helped, or to help others, Lord, out excels my need for my own hobby or whatever is busy on my plate. So, Father, I'd encourage that this would be a transformational semester for many this fall as they plug into community. Maybe some have never done that before, or some have done it and they just kind of waned away from it. This would be a time to connect back in to community. Pray this in your son's name. Amen. Couple quick announcements or business items for you. Obviously, next Sunday, we're back in our normal location, which is Guilford Elementary School. So I encourage you, if you don't know where that is, just throw it in your Google search, and it'll shoot you right up there on Stagecoach Trail. Same time, 10:30. We'll welcome you up at the school next Sunday morning. Would be great. Now, this we're pretty spread out, pretty wide here, so but it's still important for us as a church that we do our morning offering. So this is the way we're going to do it, is on your way out up here, if you would just, there's a table set up for offering. If you would just make sure you go by that table, especially those of you who are regular tenders of Wendover Hills, and do your building pledge and do your regular tithes and offering, just drop it in there. And if this morning you didn't come prepared to give, or you just don't even know what a checkbook is, that's okay. Just go to wendoverhills.org and click the give online. You can do it that way. And as we're at the end of the month, as I usually say at the end of the month, if you could do that before the first, that would put everything towards this month would be great. Am I missing anything, Pastor Anson? All right. Very good. We're going to invite our praise team to lead us out, sing in one more, and then we're going to invite you to just go right up the hill there and get in line, and we'll have some food.
All right, you can stand, or if you want to continue sitting, that's fine, but you're welcome to stand. We'd love for you to join us this morning about reminding ourselves that God's love never fails.
Go ahead. Okay, go ahead now.
And nothing can separate, even if I ran away, your love never fails. No, I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. And you stand the same through the ages. Your love never changes.